Good morning to you, sisters and brothers.
Good morning.
Saints and sinners, children of God. What a beautiful assembly we have here today. Oh, our short passage from John that comes to us for Holy Cross Sunday is from this discourse. It comes from chapter 3, where Jesus is introduced to this man named Nicodemus. And we see Nicodemus come throughout the Gospel of John. This is Jesus' first introduction to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus' first introduction to Jesus. But it's not his last. Nicodemus progresses throughout this Gospel. But he started out as a leader of the Jews. I think he was a Pharisee. He wanted to learn more about Jesus and was seeking him out to understand what it was to be a follower of Christ. He sincerely wanted to know who Jesus was and what this life that people were following, why he had all these people, and how he could learn to be one of these people. And so Jesus first goes through this explanation of what it means to be born again. And this Nicodemus is like, what? Born again? That's insane. And then Jesus says to Nicodemus how someone who is him, who is supposed to be a teacher, not know these things. Now, we know that what Jesus is teaching is new. So we can't really fault Nicodemus for thinking of in terms of Old Testament, of law, of what he currently understands. Now, and I think, you know, what we don't get in the Gospels is how Jesus' tone was. And I like to think Jesus was ribbing Nicodemus a little bit, you know, being friendly. How can you not possibly know these things? But we learn how Nicodemus, over the course of the Gospel, comes to faith. And it's a part of learning. And it's a part of growing. And it's a part of what it means to be Christian. Because this is a lifelong learning process. And we start and we're drawn to the cross. And we move forward in our lives and we learn to become better Christians. And that's why we share the gospel, and that's why we're together. And so John leads us from this question and answer to this final revelation that Jesus has to Nicodemus, that the Son of Man, Jesus, will be lifted up. And so when we say lifted up here, there's no question as to what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about not the resurrection, but the cross. Lifted up onto the cross. And so the way to faith is to gaze upon the Savior on the cross. The cross of the Savior's demise. But in order to receive salvation, we must first acknowledge this wooden cross on which the Savior died. And this is why the image of the cross is stuck indelibly in the heart of every Christian. And to be honest, I believe that the image of the cross is somewhere in the heart of every living soul in the world. And that when we become Christians, we come to terms with that. No matter what they believe, every soul knows Christ. And some of us find him. And so, in this passage of John is one of the most famous and most quoted passages from the Bible. And it's John 3:16. And this is why you'll see signs that say John 3:16 all over the place, most notably at sports games, at football games, maybe baseball games. Somebody might be holding up a sign that says John 3:16. And the reason why they don't need anything but the sign is because it's the most quoted passage from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for us, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I've mixed up a few translations there, and I apologize. But I never read John 3:16 without the passage that follows it, John 3:17, because that's one of the most important passages to me. That God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. Because people sometimes get this all mixed up. But in order that the world might be saved through him. That the death of Christ became the defeat of death by Christ. That God sent the Son into our midst in order that we may be rescued from death and darkness and free to live with God everlasting. And so God wishes for all of God's people to be with God. I have my evidence right here in Scripture. God wants us all to be with God. Ever powerful, everlasting, has shown his light on the entire earth, has shown her light on the entire earth. The talking God I'm talking about, I'm not really going to stick with one pronoun or another. God has shown God's entire light on the earth. And many of us who have been able to acknowledge and receive God's wondrous gift of faith can pour out God's love into the world. We love because God loves us. And so, I wished for us to celebrate this day. Get yourself a bulletin, Randy. I wish for us to celebrate this day not only because the time after Pentecost becomes one green Sunday after another, and it's just this day after Pentecost, and I think what we're up to, 19th Sunday after Pentecost, it gets a little bit rote. And so we get a little bit of a difference today. But we're also celebrating this day, this Holy Cross Sunday, because we are Lutheran Church of the Cross. Named in the 1960s. And this is an opportunity to look at where the heart of our soul as a church is. Right there on the cross on which Christ was nailed and hung. And where we draw our strength as a Christian community. All of our works and all of our faith are centered around that symbol of our faith. We remember Christ's fulfillment of his promise to us that on his dying and resurrection, that God would never leave us. That we recall this day of dedication to the cross as a way to also thank God for our own holy and apostolic Catholic Church. And when I say Catholic, it's with a little c. Many of you know this already, and you might say, ooh, Catholic, when we read the Apostles' Creed. But when we say Catholic, we mean universal. We mean Catholic, we mean Methodist, we mean Pentecostal, we mean universal church. The body of Christ in the world, as well as our own church building and the community here, and to remember the one cross of Christ in order that we may have a means to praise Christ's gift, great and wondrous gift to us, great and wondrous gift to us on that cross. And within that church, we mark the sign of the cross on our meal that we share at Christ's table, consuming Christ's body and pouring out Christ's blood for all to drink that our sins may be washed clean. And many of us, now I know that when I was a kid, when I was a child in the Lutheran Church, LCA was my congregation way back in South Carolina. That's where I grew up. We did not do this. That was something the Catholics did. And I don't know, sometime in the 80s or 90s or 2000s, the Lutherans said, oh, why don't we do this? Why do the Catholics get that? Martin Luther did that. Making the sign of the cross. Martin Luther wrote that when we go to eat a meal, we make a sign of the cross to acknowledge that the presence of Christ is with us in that meal. So it's optional. This is what they call adiaphora, and that means that God's grace doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't depend on God's grace. We do that or we don't do that. You're not going to sacrifice your salvation whether or not you make the sign of the cross. So that's your choice. But we make the symbol of Christ sacrificed on our bodies, and that when we are baptized, we make the pastor makes the symbol of Christ marked indelibly on our foreheads, that we may be strengthened in community and fortified by his great love for us to do God's glorious work in the earthly kingdom. And on this day, this celebration of Holy Cross Sunday, we share with one another the affirmations of baptisms of two of God's children, KK and Consuela, who independently and with one another have chosen today's date to affirm the mark of the cross that was given to them on their baptism, and who are today voicing their own assent, accepting the holy waters of baptism in their own hearts. These two sisters of ours, beloved children of God, were each given this rite soon after their births, this promise of God, of the church, to cloak them, promise to protect them, and promises of the community to keep them healthy and whole in the lap of God. And today, they affirm that promise. Today they say, okay, we're ready for that promise. They make the decision to become fully fledged disciples of Christ and all that that entails. That the cross looms over them from behind and from forward. That we guide, that they join with us, Christians, their family in Christ, who choose to pick up our own crosses and carry them forward into the promise of the future. And the good news, my sisters and brothers, is that as we welcome them into our community, daughters of God and followers of Christ, vessels of the Holy Spirit, doers of justice, mercy, and God's will, and inheritors of God's kingdom, we know that they are also proclaimers of the good news that God's holy word lives in the world and frees each and all of us to have. Each and all of us. The world. To have eternal life. Amen.